I was reading an article about a woman remembering her time in the so-called Playboy Mansion. And something she said just put Tony Fauci in my mind. Really. I know that's a freaky image, but it's something she said about what Hefner did to her.
The Todd Herman Show is 100% disapproved by big pharma, technocrats, and tyrants everywhere. Now, from the high mountains of free America, here's the Emerald City Exile, Todd Herman.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and these are the times through which God has decided we shall live. And it is times such as these that I think require us to, well, all times demand that we use not our own discernments, but that of God Almighty. I think at these times we really need to turn to biblical sources as we examine the curtain that the Lord has pulled back. It is phenomenal the way the Lord continues to reveal things about our world. And this is so much to this story. I didn't think I'd be talking about Playboy. And just, I guess, point of interest, back in the day, we were in Chicago for a Microsoft meeting. And my boss wanted to go talk to people at the Playboy offices in Chicago. And I think I remember where their offices were. I know that they were really nice offices. And I remember saying to my boss, but you're not going to get a Playboy deal through Microsoft. He goes, no. They do great sports content. They do great sports content, and they've got some great editorials. And none of the sex stuff, none of that. Okay, you're not going to get a deal with Playboy through Microsoft. No. We just licensed some of their, we don't even call it Playboy. It occurred to me, he wanted to go to the Playboy offices. So we went. And I was a grown man. I could have said, hey, you know what? I don't want to go. I should have said, hey, I don't want to go, because I didn't want to go. And for some reason, when I got there, I just had this question for this guy. And I can really remember what this guy looked like. He's not the guy I think you would expect to work at Playboy, but he came out and we were talking and I said, I know probably everybody asks you this, but what's it feel like to work here? And he said, well, not everyone's that blunt, but this is just a business like any other business. There's no, most of us here don't go through the product, and I'm not particularly a fan of the magazine, but it's a business like any other. Oh, okay. Yeah, but it's not. I didn't say that part. One of the dark underbellies of Microsoft was the fact that early in the day, when they were trying to get circulation for the Windows Media product, this was their video codec that was competing at that time against Rob Glaser's Real Networks. Rob had been a Microsoft exec and decided to go start Real Networks and just about nailed it. And Rob is an interesting guy in his own right, but this dark little secret was Microsoft paid people to do business development with porn companies because they knew that the porn companies were the biggest users that time of this technology. And they knew that they were also on the cutting edge of how it was employed and the best in metrics, and also just getting an installed user base, because they also understood that to make it easy to view Microsoft encoded products on other websites, that they wanted to be able to go out and say, oh, we've got this installed user base. So because Flash and other things were installed and were omnipresent, and I don't know if it was Flash or if it was Macromedia at the time, but there were other things that were installed on people's computers at the time. Everything was so-called client-based. So they went out to the porn companies really as a terrible phrase, Trojan horse. And the thinking was, when people wanted to watch porn, if it was in Windows Media, they would download the software, therefore they could watch their porn. And I know people whose job it was to sit around and watch porn. They got a special exemption So in their offices, they could go and say, okay, here's how this is, you know, this is being produced. It's in this codec and it's got these slowing problems, et cetera. And engineers analyzing, okay, here's how they're employing this. Here's how we could do a better job. And I know a guy who did that and just, he got sick. No, he got mentally sick because one of the things he did one day is he was going through and doing a study of what are the big distributors doing? And what are the little distributors doing? And when he got down the rat hole into little distributors, he came back seeing things that no human being, I think, would want to see. That's not become sickened by pornography, because pornography sickens you. It's a drug. It's a mental drug. It is a mental drug. And he ended up in the realm of, you know, what he said, not quite snuff videos, but they were snuff videos. That's how he described them. And we were told those didn't exist. And yet, well, they do. So winding this back up to this thing about this woman who had been in the Playboy Mansion. And she's now a woman probably my age, maybe a little older. She was 19 when she went to see Hugh. And look, 19-year-olds make a lot of stupid decisions. I made some, you made some. We grow up, we grow out of them. But when I was thinking about and praying about, what's the biblical lesson from this? Well, there's a lot of them. The quickest one is 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. The quickest one I found. I'm not saying I am not a Bible authority. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I wish I knew this, that exact quote and the meaning of that quote and the fact that we can cleanse our minds with the word of God and protect ourselves from things like this. When I was a young guy who watched porn, and when I ultimately stopped watching porn, I would like to be able to say it's through prayer. It wasn't. It was because someone availed me of the fact that a lot of these girls were being raped. That was it for me. I never watched it again 15 years ago, more, maybe 17 years ago. Never watched it again. And I'm not proud that I ever watched it. And that's a quick snippet from the most important book in the world. But there's one that came to me even more meaningful. And for people who are new to the Bible, it's might be a shocking scene to you if you've not read the full Bible. So I got to this Fox News piece and about this young woman, and a whole bunch of considerations started to come to me. First of all, was how long have we been dehumanizing women in this way? And for how long have we put up with the dehumanization of women? I mean, there's the CNN has this piece where they're terribly panicked that the March for Life could put in could abortion in peril more than ever before. Yeah, except that the peril is really to the child, and the children that are aborted on a global basis are majority girls who would grow up to be women. And there is, in fact, I think, a direct tie to, yeah, but baby, you can have an abortion. To people acting within fleshly desires, look, I got to have my sex. I'm not married, but I got to have my sex. But what if that's not what God intended it for? No, I'm just asking a question. Listen, I just admitted I watched porn as a young guy. I just admitted that. And I'm here to tell you, I haven't always engaged in holy sexuality. And I know that's an uncomfortable thing to hear. It's a Herman bleach in my ears. Okay. I'm just telling it the way I should, in that if I'm going to start poking the specks in people's eyes, I think I better be willing to admit the log in my own. There was a log in my eye. I think that log's gone. I've got others. So I think there is an argument to be made for that we've been dehumanizing women a long time. But it's when I got to this actual piece that's coming out about Playboy Mansion. Fox News did a review on it. They talked to a woman who lived there for 5 or 6 years. This is the highlight reel for the show.
There was a side of Playboy that nobody wants to talk about.
He was an advocate for sexual freedom and the First Amendment.
And he really did believe he owned these women.
There's some things that I never saw the light of day.
I didn't realize that getting into the Playboy world was a dangerous choice.
He didn't want people to know what was really going on.
I have extensive electronic equipment in the house, which includes videotape equipment. Sometimes things happen in the bedroom.
It was a beautiful world. It looked that way, but it was really ugly.
When you get someone that powerful, anything could happen. Anything.
I wouldn't trade places with anyone else in the world.
His legacy should comprise the whole story.
The people who are really there, they're the ones who know the real truth.
So as this is being portrayed, and I don't think this should shock anybody, Freudian slip, Hugh Hefner viewed these women as objects. And I mean, as objects for him to use and to watch through video cameras and more. This woman's name is Sandra Theodore, and she is part of this documentary. She's coming up on A&E. And by the way, Leah Remini helped produce this. She did a really great documentary about the Scientology organization. So when talking about her time there, she mentions that she went up with some friends. She was 19 years old and they were going to go meet Hugh Hefner. She called her mom and said, I'm going to go up and I'm going to meet this rich guy named Hugh. His name is Howard Hughes. And her mom said, no, he's dead. You're not meeting Howard Hughes. And she said, it's someone H with someone else HH. And she said, Hugh Hefner? And her daughter said, yeah, Hugh Hefner. She said, Sandra, don't do this. Do not go there. Don't go to that place. Oh, mom, we're going with friends and coming home together. And she talks about going in. She says, he was very, very charming. I'm a 19-year-old girl who went to LA to be an actress. I felt like my world was becoming wonderful and I was meeting with my prince. He had all the smooth moves and knew exactly what to say. Went back to the house and we started dancing to a Barry White song called Baby Blue. By the end of the night, my nickname was Baby Blue. I was in love before the night was over. Hugh Hefner knew exactly what he was doing. Step by step, knew exactly what to do to a young woman who wanted so badly to be a star. And he started right away the fairy tale. You know what? I've never liked a girl, he called her a girl, as much as I've liked you. And you know what? I really would like to have kids with you. I'd really like to settle down. But there's some things I'm going to need you to do to make me happy. There's some things I'm going to need you to do to fulfill my needs. And so he takes a young girl and he tells her a fairy tale. And he's showing her all the things he can give her. And here's the part where I started to think a lot about Tony Fauci. She says, quoting Fox News, they asked her, when did you first realize something didn't feel right to you? And Sandra Theodore, I worked really hard to become an actress. My phone had been ringing off the hook. I'd go from one job to another. My star was shining. Then all of a sudden, my phone wasn't ringing anymore. I mentioned it to Hefner and he said, you don't need to work anymore. I didn't understand it. I remember he had security follow me. He said, you're my girlfriend. I get death threats. You could be a target. Something in my gut told me this didn't feel right. When we broke up, a publicist told me I was supposed to be in a movie with Mary Tyler Moore, which would have been a big career move just to play her daughter, but he wouldn't let me. I also learned from an executive that a memo went out saying that nobody was allowed to tell me of any work coming in. I didn't have any money. I couldn't leave. He kept me secluded and pretty much under his thumb. Take everything you just heard there and apply it to government scientists. Apply it to young people who join the CDC because it's the best and the brightest. Apply it to research organizations who get addicted to the Fauci monies. Apply it to the great fairy tale of we're going to cure AIDS. Apply it to the great fairy tale of we're going to cure H1N1. apply it to the great fairy tale of we're going to stop disease from ravaging lives. Apply the silencing Tony Fauci engaged in with Francis Collins to silence legitimate, respected scientists who were questioning their madcap insanity. All of a sudden, very, very well considered epidemiologists and immunologists couldn't get their papers published. All of a sudden, they were fringe. All of a sudden, the guy who wrote the initial disclosure for the mRNA injection as a carriage system for medicines, 9 patents, all of a sudden, he's not even allowed to go to the New England Journal of Medicine website. All of a sudden, he's persona non grata. All of a sudden, he's a right-wing wacko. The control methods. I mean, right up to the mansion. Fauci's mansion. Then she talks about how this relationship changed over time and Hugh Hefner started to sell her, there's things I need you to do to make me happy so I can one day marry you. One day we can have kids together. One day you'll be my sole girlfriend. Or I don't think he said marry, but have kids with. Because why would Hugh Hefner get married? Because he was his own god. I mean, what do you need with marriage and matrimony and one flesh and all that? So then the very predictable to us as how old we are started to happen. It was, hey, I'm going to need to bring some other people into our, well, relationship. And then came the drugs. And this woman tells the story. She actually involved herself in prescribing some of these drugs. Or not prescribing because she's not a doctor, but she was actually, her name was used for the prescription of some of these drugs. And she talks about this in this Lifetime show that's coming up.
Jeff pretended he wasn't involved in any hard drug use at the mansion, but that was just a lie.
Quaaludes down the line were used for sex. Everything felt good to touch. Everything felt soft and soft focus. And it was lovely. Usually you just took a half. Now, if you took two, you'd pass out. It was such a seduction. And the men knew this, that they could get girls to do just about anything they wanted if they gave them a Quaalude. Before I met Huff, I had never done a drug in my life. And I was just a young, naive girl that didn't know the ways of the world.
I worked for Hefner at the Playboy Mansion.
This is the lady.
In L.A. from late 1977 to mid-1989 as Hef's secretary and then eventually executive assistant. Quaaludes were, we called them the leg spreaders, you know. I mean, and I don't know that I want to get that crude, but that is what the whole point of them was, you know. They were a necessary evil, if you will, to the partying. We would have prescriptions in some of our names. There were prescriptions in Sandra's name and Hef's name and my name. There was a prescription in Mary's name. We kept a desk calendar that just would say, you know, Lisa's Q or Hef's Q or Sandra's Q. That enabled certainly four and sometimes 5 different prescriptions for the same medication to feed the machine.
Secrets of Playboy premieres Monday, January 24th at 9, only on A&E.
Now that's just right up to the edge of where it got incredibly spooky for me. As I started to think about Tony Fauci and the worldwide global psyop. Let's talk about that. My friend Dave the Digital at Greenhaven Interactive is a conservative and a Christian in the technology business and a successful one. That's super rare. There's one thing that he asked me to chat with you about because he's seeing a lot of this, that small and medium-sized businesses do not get the respect that they should get from Google's algorithm. And Dave is an expert at something called search engine optimization. I am testimony to this. I've watched what he's done for us. And search engine optimization simply means that, well, simply to him, he's going to work with your website and the content that you produce, and he'll look at the velocity and the depth of content and the amount of content that you have. He'll look at links in and out. He'll look at authoritative versus non-authoritative links. He'll look at links that are unhelpful or maybe old or fighting for your proper place within the search engine results. And what he'll do then is go about changing that so that you are where you need to be, whether it's people searching for the name of your business or the location of your business or within a business category. Dave can help you rise up to where you need to be and get the respect that you deserve from the Google algorithm. Super simple to get in touch with Dave the Digital. Just go to greenhaveninteractive.com. Tell him you're a listener for the podcast and or of the podcast, and I guarantee you're going to get great treatment from him. Already, but of my listeners with businesses have found this out. That's greenhaveninteractive.com. This is where it gets insanely scary. It's the mind control. From the very beginning, Hefner staged everything. So as these young women drove up to the mansion, no doubt it's this massive place. I flew over it once and someone said, oh, that's the Playboy Mansion. And I said, wow, that's huge. And it starts with that. And then it starts with next of this very powerful man with this huge amount of money. He only sees me. And then it's you get to move in here. This is yours now. The swimming pools and the grounds and the cars and the rides and the security and the helicopters, it's all yours, Sandra, because I've never liked a girl like I like you. I'm 50 and I'm calling you a girl because I want you to think of yourself as a girl. Mind control. I do not want you to move yourself beyond think of yourself as a girl. Well, the reason that we turn to public health authorities in this is, look, these are very complicated issues and people need to understand everybody is at risk from this virus. It doesn't pick and choose. Well, the reason that we have brought together this team is because this is a novel virus. We've never seen anything like this. There are no existing immunities to it. And I like you like I haven't ever liked a girl. Now, it's fear, opportunity, competing. Hefner is, hey, here's opportunity. Here's fear of loss. Like, man, if I don't get with this guy, I'm going to lose this. It's opportunity for gain. I'm living in a mansion. I'm going to be famous. Fauci's using a different technique. Everybody's going to die. But it's the same game. The nation's leading expert on infectious diseases, one of Hollywood's true legends, icon Hugh Hefner. He got the same kind of press. And rounding the churn now, 67-year-old Hugh Hefner, still wearing the bathrobe. Jeannie, did you think one day he would take the bathrobe and maybe curl up just a little bit? Mark, it's well known that Hugh is one of Hollywood's premier party boys. I didn't see a time where he would give up the bathrobe. In fact, I think America would mourn the day that he gave up the bathrobe. But the nation's leading expert in infectious diseases, Dr. Tony Fauci, says the theory of natural immunity is not enough to develop actual herd immunity, which can only be done through the assistance of pharmaceuticals. But here's where you get specific. He had people followed. He had security follow him. He drained them of resources. He made the mansion the only place they could live because they had no money. Ultimate now mind control. Ultimate, you're going to do what I tell you to do because number one, you have gone to think I love you and you need that love. Number two, if you're out of here, where are you going at the age of 26? What is your beauty going to buy you at the age of 26? The UK government is using a paper and the work of a whole lot of behavioral scientists to take the nudge theory and cast unseen was a proponent of this. And one of my listeners, Chuck, really wants me to talk about this. That's not why I'm doing it. Of all due respect for Chuck, but this is because it's this so hit me straight upside the face. And Mindspace is the name of this product or this paper. It's from the Institute for Government. Institute for Government. It's a practical guide. Let's see, we've got a professor of economics in the Department of Social Policy. We've got a senior researcher at the Institute for Government. We have a director of research at the Institute of Government. We've got a specialty registrar in the General Surgery and Clinical Research. We've got a senior lecturer in psychology. Put together a paper to show governments how they can overcome people's skepticism, how they can use psychology to push people to do things that they've decided they want done. See, it's not enough that government come out and make a proposal. Good evening. We would like to propose that we make a change in how vaccination programs work. Traditionally, a vaccine has been what we would call an inert portion of a virus or a pathogen that can't harm you any longer, that allows your body to practice, to jumpstart your own immune system. We all have natural immunity. It allows the body to do that. And in that case, build a more robust immunity to stop you from transmitting the virus or from becoming infected with it. That's what a proper vaccine does. We would like to update this using what you would think of as computer code, taking a strand of mRNA, which is a bridge mechanism between your body and the virus, your DNA, and adding this code to your body as a foreign code base. And what it would do is have your body, your genes, it's like a gene therapy, and it would have your body produce an element of the virus that, in full disclosure, is very dangerous to your body. In science we call it a cytotoxin. It means poisonous to the cell. But in doing that, we think it would have some possibility of maybe seeing that you don't get as sick. It won't stop transmission or infection, and we haven't tested this in any proper way on anybody. But that's what we'd like to do is force people to take it. Nope, not going to sell. Not going to happen. Not that way. See, that's the honest proposition. Proposition, proposition, proposition. That's the honest proposition. That if they were honest people, that's honestly what they'd have told people. But that's not what they did. They manipulated people. In fact, they knew they were manipulating people. I'll take you through this paper and how it relates to all this. And they put it right in writing. Here's how we're going to lie to people and emotionally cripple people. But this shouldn't surprise anybody who's listening to this podcast. Here's a whole bunch of them sitting around talking about what they're going to do.
Why don't we blow the system up? I mean, obviously, we can't just turn off the spigot on the system we have and then say, hey, everyone in the world should get this new vaccine. We haven't given to anyone yet. But there must be some way that we grow vaccines mostly in eggs the way we did in 1947.
In order to make the transition from getting out of the tried and true egg growing, which we know gives us results that can be, you know, beneficial. I mean, we've done well with that, to something that has to be much better. You have to prove that this works. And then you've got to go through all of the clinical trials, phase ones, phase twos, phase three, and then show that this particular product is going to be good over a period of years. That alone, if it works perfectly, is going to take a decade.
There might be a need or even an urgent call for an entity right. of excitement out there that's completely disruptive, that's not beholden to bureaucratic strings and processes.
So we really do have a problem of how the world perceives influenza, and it's going to be very difficult to change that unless you do it from within and say, I don't care what your perception is, we're going to address the problem in a disruptive way and in an iterative way, because you do need both.
But it is not too crazy to think that an outbreak of a novel avian virus could occur in China somewhere. We could get the RNA sequence from that, beam it to a number of regional centers, if not local, if not even in your home at some point, and print those vaccines on a patch and self-administer.
You've heard that before. Does it come across differently now? Do you see the years of grooming that have been undertaken? If you appreciate information like this or analysis like this, it's really, really helpful if you go rate the podcast at whatever platform you're on. If you just think it deserves 4 stars, give it 4. If you think it's 5, give it 5. It's also really helpful if you write words when you do that. Just write a quick 2 or 3 sentences about why you like the show. And that will help, you know, platforms like Spotify keep us on and Apple keep us on. And you know, this isn't free of charge for us. You know, we're investing money in doing this, and I'm happy to do it. It's God's money. I hope it's a wise investment. And as we're bringing on advertisers, and I keep saying that, just know that there's a process that we go through to bring on an advertiser. We don't just pop people onto the air. We also check them out and make sure that we're all square in who they are and who we are. But prior to the advertisers coming on, and you guys have been so kind with the advertisers we do have, and responsive, best thing you could do for us today is to rate the podcast. So this paper is called, it's from an institute of government. There's a link to it in the podcast. It's their actual paper. It's a PDF. You can read through it on your own. They have a system. It's called Mindspace. Stands for Messenger. So they say that some people don't trust government. A dislike of government interventions may be less likely to listen. Someone who's developed a dislike of government interventions may be less likely to listen to the message they perceive to have come from the government. Catch the key word there? Perceive. Tonight on a very special, I don't know any current TV shows, dang it. What's the current scene? Tonight on Sex and the City, the remake, Sandra suffers from a terrible infection of Omicron's COVID-19, which can affect the young and the healthy, at the same time as her unvaccinated boyfriend refuses to be vaccinated, leading to the death of 17 women in the borough. Will Sandra keep dating him? After all, he's got packs. That's not government. Look, the thing we need to remember is YouTube and Facebook are private companies. They're private companies. They're banning this information because they're private companies, Jen Psaki. Well, we certainly have reached out to Facebook with some content that we think is disturbing. Am I saying that we're not doing that? We reach out all the time. Messenger. Next, incentives. New York has the state of New York has a new incentive for youngsters who haven't had the opportunity to get vaccinated. $100 gift certificates and all you can eat triple cheeseburgers from McDonald's. The governor of New York, a sex offender named incentives. Norms. Social and cultural norms are the behavioral expectations or rules within a society or group. Norms can be explicitly stated, no smoking signs in public, or they can be observed. People often take their understanding of social norms from the behavior of others. You see the NFL games where while they're interviewing the player stands 6 feet away. And then once the interviewer's over, you're not supposed to notice the fact that then the interviewer and the player hug. Do you see the pictures of the so-called world leaders, meaning bosses, where they're standing there with their stupid, disgusting, filthy, bacteria-ridden face diapers on their mugs until the photo session's over, then they take them off? That's what that's about. TV to this day has people standing 6 feet apart because they've been told to or paid to. Defaults. Many decisions we take every day have a default option, whether we recognize it or not. Defaults are the options that are pre-selected if an individual does not make an active choice. Defaults exert influence because individuals have a built-in bias to accept the default setting, even if it has significant consequences. I gotta go out.
I need to go to the movies. I need to see films. I have to have a passport.
Defaults. Salience. Our attention is often drawn to what's novel and seems relevant to us. Well, the thing to note here is that this does not have any existing immunity to it. A new way to track your children's health has premiered in Los Angeles. It's an app that will warn you if your child has come into contact with someone carrying the deadly disease of COVID-19. Health officials say you can download it for free at their website, including a $100 gift certificate for all-you-can-eat McDonald's. Priming. Priming is about how people's behaviors altered if they're first exposed to certain sights, sounds, or sensations. Priming. How many ads did you see of an old person's scared, crying eyes with an oxygen mask on their face? Tell him it's not risky. Priming. How many ads do we see saying, or not, you know, content pieces saying, children have heart attacks as well. Here's how to know the signs. No, they don't. In the UK, young people have strokes as well. Here's how to know the signs. No, they don't. They're priming people. And I, to this day, wonder how much priming was done in the measles scare factory. Because I just all of a sudden, I was working in commercial radio on a general talk station. And all of a sudden, everything was measles. And I remember asking a news lady, why is this news? What are you talking about? Why is this all of a sudden news? Our public health officials say this is one of the most important things we can be talking about. So they've asked us to promote this, and we're going to because they're our public health officials. Okay, got it. I think you get the point. And the rest of the paper is at the link. Mind control. Your governments, and this isn't just being used in the UK. I mean, the same thing is being done in the United States. I just proved the point that the same thing is being done in the United States. The government has now decided it is their job, their role, to scare you into doing things. If only there was a way that we could make ourselves immune to such things. There is. And it goes back to what we talk about on the show at the center of it. It also goes back to Hugh Hefner and Tony Fauci. It goes back to the creation of kings and czars and their appetites and their lack of accountability to anyone but God. And if you're new to the Bible, this is a significantly intense telling of history through the Bible. It's just a special thank you to everybody who's emailed us. And just a reminder that, yep, we're still working on the email system. We're testing this morning, and the tests look very, very good. This new company does not have any political views. Well, I don't know that they may have political views, but they don't care about our own. They've made that eminently clear. I want to apologize for the hassle of the missing emails that people are missing. And I want to invite you to go to our Substack. Okay. This is a place that I blog not often enough because it's, I can't write quick things. Unless I'm on Twitter and then it's just all dopamine. I like to write thoughtful pieces. And so I do that at Substack, but not enough because it takes a long time. So there's a link in the show sheet here, or what we call the podcast notes, so that you can be a subscriber to our Substack. It's another way to keep in contact with us. So that's going to be available. And that would be one thing we could do today to make sure that we don't lose track of one another. And this is just one of those rough stories from the Bible. It's rough. I mean, it's a history of God's interaction with people. This is John the Baptist. And if you're new to the faith, so John the Baptist, his role was to foretell the coming of the Messiah. And he was a very effective at that. He was also the judge, the cousin of Jesus Christ. And this is Matthew 14. And this is why this looped back around to me for Hefner and Fauci, is that they both get whatever they want. They both face no accountability except from God, because we can't fire Fauci. He's retiring into splendor because this is what the party has set up. Pharma, media, tech, academia, and deep state. You know, they create people like this, and like Herod, and we're going to talk about here, King Herod. you know, they set up these cults.
Dr. Fauci, give us vaccines. Help all the people who have been quarantined.
That's incredibly spooky. So, King Herod next. That sounds weird. King Herod joins us. Not really, thankfully. We have a number of people in our audience who have written to me who are still facing erasure from their careers because of the injections. And there's a lot of people who have been emailing and saying, could you organize prayer for us? We've thought of doing something with churches where we would partner with churches. And then I've talked to a number of pastors to say, you know what? Churches don't really have a system for that. So that you might not get what you want. Can I just say this? Would this audience add to your prayers anybody and everybody who is facing erasure from their career because of the injections? And it's up to you how you pray to the Lord. My specific prayer is that the Lord would strike down this evil of stealing people's incomes, and that the Lord would say that this is bullying. And the Lord has said, don't bully employees, don't bully servants in, you know, the older nomenclature. It's not, you're not to steal their wages. And some business owners are allowing themselves to be forced to do this. I'd also look at this, if it is God's will that this continue, that the Lord Almighty would replace this income sevenfold. If these people are doing this in adherence to him and in his word, in other words, to not take these injections because they contain aborted fetal cells or were developed using aborted fetal cells. So can we just agree on that? I would appreciate that. So the setting is this. It's a Bible. It's Matthew, and Matthew 14. And I hope you see why this reminds me of the Fauci and it reminds me of Hefner. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said, is it Elijah? Others still claim he's a prophet like one from long ago. And when Herod heard this, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had given the orders for John's arrest. He'd found him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John, he's speaking of John the Baptist, had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet like he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune moment came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you. And he promised her with an oath, whatever you ask, I will give to you up to half my kingdom. She went out and asked her mother, what shall I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. At once, the girl hurried into the king with the request, I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went and beheaded him. I don't think that Tony Fauci is beheading people, but he is responsible for hundreds of thousands of deaths. Someone went to Fauci and said, we want the right to inject people with this experiment. Some of those people include Bill Gates, who announced the decade of the vaccine, and he got it. Other government bosses have gone in and said, we want the right to control people's movements. We want that power. And through the response to the COVID flu, they're giving him that power. the hoax response to a real flu. Someone went to Fauci and said, bring us the heads of the American people on a platter. And while our heads are still attached to our bodies, there are so many people who've been psychologically traumatized forever that he has virtually seized their heads. Damaged beyond belief to think that they don't have immune systems because appetite. Because kings can do these things. Because Fauci has been made a king. And because God Almighty has allowed us to see these things, we see clearly. And we're reminded that, wow, throughout biblical history, there are moments like this and times like this. And here we sit. Now it's our turn. And it's our turn to examine, are the Republicans coming to rescue us from Tony Fauci? Just Rand Paul and Senator Johnson, to a degree. Are the other Republicans coming to rescue us from Fauci? Do we expect Rand Paul to do that? No, we're not going to be rescued by people in this sense. We begin to pray like we vote. Or probably vote like we pray. That's a key to rescue. We begin once again to teach our kids that biblical history is history. Times like these always come when nations turn their backs on God. And now back to Hugh Hefner. I don't believe that the dance that's described here in the Bible was a square dance. I don't believe it was a wholesome dance. After all, this was a king who had married his brother's sister and was going on to behead a guy because a girl told him to. I believe the dance is probably of a sexual nature. I think that's probably suggested in the text, at least at that sort of event. And so this is a guy who's basically pimping out his brother's wife's daughter, whom he had married, making her his stepdaughter and niece. When people turn away from God, God is happy to say, well, I don't know if he's happy. I don't want to place emotions on God Almighty. God has a distinct behavior of saying, you want to live in your filth? You want your desires? You want that? Then I'm going to give you that. Which takes us all the way back to the story of the young woman who decided to go to the Playboy Mansion when she was 19. There is no good that can possibly come from a concentration on the sexual. There is no good that can possibly come from exploiting the sexual. The greatest gifts that God has given us are meant to be celebrated in the greatest and most sacred ways. They're meant to be a concentration. They're meant to be a intimate celebration. And the further they move from that is their intended enjoyment, because sexual activity should be enjoyable with your spouse, with your wife or your husband. It should also be meaningful. It should be a sharing of intimacy beyond the physical. The further it moves away from that, interpersonally, the more disordered it becomes. The further it moves away from that in terms of one partner, the more it becomes distorted. Hugh Hefner distorted a nation's view of sexuality. Hugh Hefner gained world riches from that. Hugh Hefner exploited young girl after young girl and got rich doing it. Hugh Hefner was effectively the nation's most famous pimp. And like Tony Fauci, he brought the heads of the American people to himself on a platter. And I'm ashamed to say that as a young man, it's pretty exciting to find those Playboy magazines in the woods. My friends, now departed from the earth, dear friend, gave me his collection because he was moving and his mom was going to find him. And I wonder, not to bag on my mom, because she did the best she could. And she, in fact, shamed me in a very unique way about those magazines, just by having me look at them with her That was awkward. How different would it have been if she had shared with me God's design for sexuality? How different would it be if we share with our kids God's design for our bodies and the Bible is history? Maybe they'll see Tony Fauci in a new way. We sure appreciate you sharing the show with friends. That is a potent way to grow it. The more episodes you download and enjoy, the bigger the show grows. This is the Todd Herman for the aforementioned show. Now go be well, be strong, be kind, and as always, be right with God.